Welcome back to the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich.
And I'm Vera Sarzano.
And we would like to welcome you back to season 7.
La stagione 7, come i 7 nani.
Esatto, e 7 è un numero perfetto, veramente?
Sì, perché?
Perché il numero 7 è il numero di Dio.
Oh, il numero 7 è il numero di Dio.
The number 7 is considered like the perfect number or the number of God.
So this is going to be the best season yet and the luckiest maybe?
Number 7 is a great number. I'm excited about our new format coming off of last season where we kind of had everything really structured. I'm excited to have this be so much more casual and talking about our everyday lives and what we're up to. Rather than researching specific regions and interviewing people from those regions, we get to talk about our favorite people, ourselves. So, Vera, we've got the wide open roads ahead of us, and we get to talk about anything we want. This is going to be our lives unscripted, and I love that. So, one of the things that I want to just quickly address that I've gotten a number of questions in the last several months about, people kind of want an update about, is how are things going with me buying a farm? And I hate to tell you this, but there is plenty to share with you. I just can't share it right now. So I want to just acknowledge that I know I haven't mentioned anything about it, and I've kind of been able to, for the last season, not have to talk about it because we weren't really doing a lot of talking about our lives. It has been a roller coaster ride. It has been wild and eventful. And just when I start getting really, really feeling hopeless and discouraged, I realize that this is what's going to make a really good story when I get to share it with you. So please bear with me a bit longer, and I promise that I'm not trying to keep it secret just to be a tease. I will be giving you an update, and I'm looking forward to that very much. Vera, share with us what you've been up to over the last few weeks. I know you've been really busy. You've had a lot going on. Give us an update about your life. Tell us what you've been up to.
Okay, remember one of the very first thing I said on this podcast, season 5, I think, my La Vera Italia segment, 5 things you need to know about Italy. And the very first one was, it takes long. It takes forever. I don't care what you need to do. It will take longer than you think. Well, I moved in this house 6 months ago now. And only this week, my favorite carpenter ever, Mirko, you all met him in a surrounding sound last season, finally finished the job. Ah, I can't believe it. But he had to come like 5 or 6 times in the past 2 weeks. And every time he did a little bit and double check, he did a great job, okay? He checks everything twice and waits for, you know, everything to dry perfectly and whatever. But every single day it was like, is Mirko coming today? Yeah. What time? 4, 5, 6. And so it's been quite a few weeks for me. But now I look at my desk exactly where the stairs were. So there was a big hole and now I have the floor and it's beautiful. It's amazing. So it's all worth it. And this is probably why Nathan doesn't have any updates on the farm, because he thought he would take like a year to buy the farm and then a year to restore it. It's going to take twice as much, at least.
Yes, it's a lesson we all learn. And it's really a good lesson, I think, for foreigners to learn. I don't think it's necessarily, I don't know, what's the word? I don't know that it's necessarily inherently better that things go slowly, but I think that the concept of patience is a really good, healthy one to have. And no, Italy isn't perfect and Italians don't get everything exactly right, but I think Italians get the approach to life that things don't have to be immediate. I think they get that really right. And I like that. I appreciate that. And I'm coming to embrace that. And if you come here, move here, live here, however you experience Italy, you're either going to resist it and be miserable, or you're going to embrace it and learn to just go with the flow. And that's kind of one of the most Italian ways that you can adapt to your new life in Italy, isn't it?
It is. I don't know if patience is a word I would use to describe the way we are. I would probably use resignation, because that's how it's always been for us, okay? Since day one, when we were born, I don't know. It just takes long. So we are not in this, you know, zen state where, oh, okay, whatever comes, I'm fine, I'm great. No, we do complain about things being slow. But at the same time, we are also slow when we do things. So it's sort of a resignation, and we never make plans. Now, I noticed that many foreigners, I would say, yeah, basically from Northern Europe, the United States, okay, they plan. They plan their holiday, or they plan their future life in Italy, or if they work here, they're like, okay, I open my business. In 3 years, I'm going to open a second branch. In 5 years, I'm going to do this and that. And they believe it. And I feel so bad for them, because it's not going to happen. Not because you're not good at your job, or not because, it's just that it takes longer. So eventually it will happen. And the same thing for holidays, for vacations. So like, okay, I'll book a guided tour at 9 at this museum, and then a wine tasting at 12 at that winery. Don't. Because the guided tour at the museum won't start on time, or even if it will, the tour guide will be so, you know, happy about helping you out understand. You will have a lot of questions about that museum. So instead of 1 hour, it will be 2 for the same price. Don't worry. And then you'll miss your wine tasting.
There's really no way to prepare yourself for life in Italy. You just have to come and live it and experience it. And that's the only thing. I mean, I heard 1,000 times, you know, people say before I moved here, oh, in Italy, everything goes slower. It's a slower pace of life. And you're right. It's a slower pace of life, but it's not necessarily chosen. Like we consciously choose to have life go slower. It just goes slower, and there's no stopping the slowness of the slow train of life in Italy. It's just the way it is. Now, what else besides your carpenter work in your new house, which, by the way, as you will probably remember, Alessandra and I were able to visit Vera at her new house in Tuscany, and it's a beautiful, beautiful home. On the exterior, it looks like one of those picturesque, quintessential Tuscan farmhouses, this beautiful two-story farmhouse with a wisteria-covered terrace and swimming pool and views of the mountains. I mean, it is absolutely fabulous behind a beautiful gate. I mean, it is the most fabulous place ever. And inside, it's got charm and character. It doesn't look modern and new and like all glass and concrete and steel, but it's brand new inside and gorgeous and homey. And the lighting, I just love the lighting that you have in there, because it's not on bright all the time. Like, you have the ability, unlike many Italian homes I've been in, new or old, where the lights are either on full blast or they're off. There's no happy medium. And the lighting in Vera's home is warm and inviting, and it's in soft little places underneath the stove, and it makes you feel cozy and you don't want to leave. So, I mean, Vera's talking about her. Now, I saw her home before she had any of this work done that she's talking about. You'd think that she had this huge renovation and the place was in shambles. No, it was just she's modifying things, moving staircases, adding bookshelves, things like that, making it go from fabulous to even more fabulous. But besides what's been going on in your beautiful villa in Tuscany, Vera, tell me what else has been happening with you.
Well, actually, nothing special, nothing new, you know, work and going for walks here around my beautiful villa. And the way you described it, I was like, where's this place? I want to see it. I want to go there. Because, wow.
Whatever.
And yeah, some work. And, you know, I go to the pool a few times a week and swim.
Well, you
I
just
do.
said something interesting because you have a swimming pool at your house, but you just said you go to the swimming pool once a week. And we're talking about it's still cold here in northern Italy, and I don't think your pool is heated where you live.
So the pool I have here in my place is like a outdoor pool, no heating. Italy can be really cold in winter, even in the south. When I say the south, it's warmer. It's just some parts of it, but you know, there are mountains in every region. We learned that. So actually in Abruzzo is one of the coldest places in Italy in winter because they have the high mountains and the winds coming from the Balkans. So yeah, it's cold. But I love swimming. I hate sports. I don't do sports. It's just something I dislike, literally. And I think it's, I don't know, even embarrassing. I know it's my fault. Not that you should be embarrassed to do sports, but I just cannot, you know, go jogging where everybody can see. I don't know. I don't like it. I'm weird. I think you figured that out by now. So I love swimming. So what I do in the winter is I drive to a swimming pool that is just 7 minute drive from my place. And it's like a, you know, normal pool, 25 yards. Yeah, you use yards for pool, right? 25 yards, six lanes. And I swim for about an hour. And the great thing is that it's only me, or maybe one other person swimming in a different lane, because it's not the main pool in Siena, the big city, and it's in a smaller town. And I guess especially kids go there in the afternoon to have their swimming lessons. People who work, you know, normal jobs, 9 to 5, go there late in the evening. And I just go around 11:30 in the morning. So that is perfect. It's just me and the lifeguard.
How nice. Now, you said you don't do sports, and the Italian word for sports is different than the American word for sports. Because when we think sports, we're thinking tennis, volleyball, football, golf, those kind of sports. But when you say sport, you're referring to exercise, aren't you?
I am. You're right. Sorry. Yeah. Exercise.
No, don't, nothing to be sorry about. I mean, it's just a difference. It's just a difference in terminology. But you, it's interesting because you still use the English word sport, right?
Yes, we do. Lo sport. It's like you said, pallavolo, golf, pallacanestro, nuoto. So all the sports, like Olympics. And exercise. So fare sport is to exercise. We can also say fare ginnastica, but that is more like, you know, you're on your mat and you do sit-ups, push-ups, and things.
Yeah. Well, I am a little jealous of your heated pool that you get to go to, and I love swimming, so I completely get it. I, believe it or not, I can completely agree with you in both versions of the word sport. I don't really love to do sport, the English or the Italian version of them. But I love to walk and I love to swim and I love to hike and other things. So I get it. Well, something that happened last week that was really, really fun that I wanted to share with you is I had some listeners who are now friends as well come to Venice and I went and met them. So one of my probably longest time listeners, Stephanie, and her husband Chase, her mother-in-law Tony, her son Aiden and her daughter Emma, they all came to Venice. They came to Italy. I think they landed in Florence and they spent some time in Florence, took the train up here to Venice. They were here for 2 nights and then they went back down to Rome and then spent some time in Rome before they went home. And so Stephanie was like, we're going to be in Venice. We'd love to meet up with you, whether we come on the train and meet up with you in Conegliano or whether you meet up with us in Venice. And I kind of avoid Venice. I think I've shared with you before. It's not really my city. You know, it's the major city here in the area, and it's where I fly in and out of the Venice airport whenever I travel. And it's a great place to visit occasionally when there's not too many tourists. But I try to avoid Venice unless I really need to be in Venice, because it's just a different vibe. I'm kind of spoiled with my little village here of Conegliano that's kind of undiscovered by tourists. But Alessandro was going to be down in Naples for the second time, so he wasn't going to be here. And so because Alessandro wasn't going to be here and we couldn't take Stephanie and her husband up to the castle for a dinner and spend some time here in our little village, I decided I would just hop on the train by myself and go to Venice. And so that's what I did. And I always have a little bit of a, oh gosh, Venice, like, here I go to Venice. I'm hopping on the train. You mean I mean, that sounds horrible. So the people who like have dreamed of visiting Venice their whole life and they've never been there, it probably sounds really, really snotty and bratty to say like, oh my gosh, I have to go to Venice. But I think it was a Thursday night. Maybe it was a Friday night. What was it? Friday night or Thursday night? It was not a weekend night. I think it was either a Thursday or a Friday night. And it's March, so it's not the height of the tourist season. I knew there would be tourists. I wasn't sure how crowded it would be. So I arrived in Santa Lucia station and got out. It was probably around 6 o'clock when I arrived in Venice, and the sun was setting. And every time I go to Venice, I get the same exact feeling. Like, what is wrong with you, Nathan? Like, this is a really fabulous city. Like, why do you have this bad attitude about Venice? Because, you know, I turn into an immediate tourist when I get there. I pull out my camera and I just start capturing videos of everything I'm looking at. And I start, you know, just, oh my gosh, here comes a boat. And, you know, it's one of those fabulous wooden boats that taxi people around in Venice. And it just looks, it's so picturesque, and it's unlike any other place in the world. It's unlike any other place in Italy. And it's amazing. And so I just started videoing my way. You know, it was still enough daylight. I'm taking videos of this and I'm taking videos of that. It's almost Easter here in Italy, and all of the shops were filled with all of these different Easter pastries and cakes, and it was colorful and beautiful. And I'd never met Stephanie and her husband before. We've talked back and forth online a lot, on Instagram and messages and stuff. And so here I was getting ready to meet this family, and I kind of always have this little bit of a, like, I love people. Right. And I love spending time with people, but I always have this apprehension when I meet people, because especially when I'm meeting someone's entire family, because if you've got teenage kids with you, you know, I remember what it was like when I was a teenager, and your parents, you know, have someone that they want to meet in this town. And you're just like, oh my gosh, why do we have to meet this random stranger that you just know from a podcast? So I'm going into this like hang out with these people I've never met before, and their teenage kids and their mother-in-law, and I'm thinking to myself, they probably are just like, Stephanie, why did you get us into this? And I showed up at this little piazza where I was going to be meeting Stephanie and her husband Chase, and I gave them a hug and we said hello, and they said, okay, well, our place is just this way, we're right on the water. And I was like, okay, that's great. So we're kind of chatting, and they're so lovely. They're from Alabama. And if you're from the United States and you're not from the South, you're from the East, the Midwest, the North, the West Coast, wherever you're from, you have an idea of the South, and you have this preconceived notion that people from the South are whatever you happen to think about them. They're not as, I don't know, cultured, they're not as whatever. And anything that you think you know about the South or people from the South, if you've never spent time there, I can tell you it's wrong. And I can tell you this as someone who has a place in Tennessee and who spent a lot of time in the South. people from the South are my favorite people in the United States. They are the loveliest people. They are the most friendly. They are the most warm and inviting. And Stephanie and her family were no exception. So we're having this conversation, and I already knew Stephanie, like, you know, she's my friend, but I didn't know anyone from her family. And we're just having this conversation. Her husband is such a nice man. He's so interesting. One of the most interesting people I've ever talked to. He's a contractor for the United States military. And so he spends a lot of time in Middle Eastern countries like Jordan and Yemen and Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, all of these places that are like so different. And he speaks Arabic, and he's just such an interesting man. And then we come around this corner, and there's the Grand Canal, and they're like, oh, and this is our place. And they literally had this, rented this home right on the Grand Canal, and it was the most fabulous Airbnb listing that I've ever been in Italy. I mean, it was this multi-room, beautiful open floor plan with windows that lead right out onto the Grand Canal. And I mean, the interior was beautiful. They had Prosecco on ice, and they opened a bottle and we're drinking. And we just had like, and I brought, of course, because this is just what I do, I brought this big basket full of sort of like a welcome to Italy, welcome basket. I brought, you know, my own bottles of Prosecco and just gifts for them. And one of the things that Stephanie had, you know, I've done so many different things over the course of this podcast and my time in Italy. You remember when I was selling pieces of art and things online on my online store at All Roads Lead to Italy? Well, one of the items that I was selling, Stephanie had commented that it was so beautiful. It was this copper teapot, and I didn't sell it. And I remembered that she had said she loved it. So I saved it for Stephanie because I knew someday I would meet her either here in Italy or in Alabama or in Tennessee or wherever we were going to connect. And so I brought that with me all wrapped up in an Italian piece of linen and, you know, tied with a bow. And anyway, I brought these, all these little things for them, and some candies and some cakes for Easter. And anyway, so we had fun opening that. And then she had brought me a gift too. And I wasn't expecting that. She was like, don't get excited. It's something really simple, but I just had to bring it for you. And I was like, okay. She gives me this bag. The bag is covered in gold glitter. Okay. Just completely covered. So when you hold the bag, you are now covered in gold glitter. There's still glitter on me from last week from this opening this bag. So I opened this bag that Stephanie had brought, and that I'm going to hold up for you what she brought me so you can see it. Look at this.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. You should be excited. That is a great gift. The best gift ever for you, right?
3x5 cards. She brought me 4 packages of 3x5 cards, white ones, like the ones in the United States. Like, these are the actual legitimate ones that I grew up using in college and in school. Anyway, we were laughing and carrying on and having just the time of our lives. Okay, so Stephanie's mother-in-law, Tony, is the biggest kick in the pants. She is so hilarious and so spunky and funny and has such a great sense of humor. We just hit it off and we were laughing like we knew each other, and the kids were so delightful. And Chase is telling us stories about his times, you know, that he's lived, you know, in different places of the world for the U.S. government, and telling us horror stories and amazing stories and all these things he's experienced. And then we went to dinner, and it was on me to find us a place to go have dinner. And I was just like, okay, well, I know of a couple places. And my motto when it comes to having dinner in Venice is get as far away from the major downtown, like Santa Lucia Station, you know, St. Mark's Square, anything that you can do to get away from the major, major touristy areas. Not only do the prices get better, I think the food gets better, and the ambiance gets better, the restaurants get smaller, and you have a chance more running into locals rather than just tourists. So, I mean, I really didn't know where I was going. I knew kind of the basic direction, and then I took a wrong turn in the maze of all the little side streets and bridges. And anyway, we ended up coming across this one restaurant, and I was like, instead of meandering another 20 minutes through to find this other restaurant that I knew about, this one looks nice. The menu looks good. It's not only in English. Fortunately, it was in Italian with tiny little English underneath. And so that's usually a good sign. So we walked in. They immediately seated us. It was just a fabulous dinner. And we laughed and we talked, and it was so much fun. And I just realized how much I had missed being in a group of English-speaking people from the United States at a dinner table, just sitting around at a dinner table, talking and laughing and just having a great time. We just drank a lot of wine and ate lots of good seafood and pasta and bread. We just had a great time. It was just the loveliest evening. And then, you know, we'd been sitting there for a couple hours like real Italians do. And, you know, we're having all these different courses and drinking lots of wine. And I even introduced them to the drink, one of my favorite sort of after dinner digestivo drinks up here in Venice that's called Scroppino, which is sort of a lemony aperitivo drink. And it's delicious. So we had that. And then I was like, I should probably consult the train schedule because I don't know when the last train is that leaves Venice, but surely it's late. And so one of the waiters overheard me saying that, and he said, oh, well, let me just check for you. And that was very sweet. So he checks and he says, the last train is at 11:01. And it was 10:25. And we're way on the other side of Venice. I was on the phone with Veda when I was buying my ticket to get to Venice. And I was like, oh, I'm only going to buy a one-way ticket because I don't know when I'm coming back. So anyway, I didn't have my return ticket. It's true. And I was going to just buy one on the way back. So I quickly put into my phone walking directions and how long it would take me to get back to the station. We were just paying for dinner. And it said it was going to take me a good 25 minutes to walk back to the station. That only left me like maybe 5 minutes of buffer before the train was going to leave and I was going to arrive. And so I had left my bag back at their apartment that they had rented. And so we had to go power walk back across Venice to their place. It was on the way back to the train station, so that was fine. I gave them all a big hug and, you know, we said goodbye and can't wait to meet again and whatever. It was a wonderful evening. And then I ran/power walked back to the station, and I'm checking my phone, and Alessandro calls me and he's like, how was dinner? And I'm like, I can't talk right now. I'm trying to catch the last train out of here, because if I don't catch this train, then I'm going to be stranded. And, you know, Stephanie and her family were like, well, just come back here and you can stay here tonight. And anyway, so I didn't want to have to do that. So I get to the train station. It's like 4 minutes before the train is going to leave. I run over to the machine to see if I can buy a ticket. Of course, the machine will not let you buy a ticket a few minutes before the train's going to leave. It says, go get on the train. You can buy the ticket on the train. So I run to the train. I get on the train. Oh, I made it to the train. Literally a minute later, the train doors close and off we go. I'm out of breath and sweating, but happy that I made the train. And fortunately, I didn't have to change trains. The train would just take me all the way through straight to Conegliano. And I waited for somebody to come through to, you know, so I could buy a ticket from them, but nobody ever came through. So I ended up getting a free train ride home. Anyway, that was something really fun that I got to do recently with a listener that was so delightful. And I really enjoyed it. I've had a couple listeners come and spend time here And of course, Vera, you and Luca have been here in Conegliano. It's so nice when somebody that I've known online, I get to meet them in person, then we get to have this wonderful experience together. The same thing happened when Roger and Denny came to town. Also on that night, my pants ripped open and it literally had a pair of ripped pants, but I'll tell that story another time. But it's really fun to be with listeners and people that I've met through this podcast. I really love that. So I can't always say it's going to work out, but if you know you're going to be somewhere in the area of Italy and you're going to be near me, reach out to me and let me know. I love an excuse to meet up with someone that I've met through this podcast. Right, Vera? We both love it.
We both love it. And yeah, I'm a little bit like Nathan. So I don't go out a lot if I'm not asked to. And yeah, I think Nathan and I are the same. Right before, it's like, oh no, it's not that we don't want to meet you or even our friends that we met, you know, in real life, in school or whatever. But it's like, oh, I'm here, I'm home, I'm working, I'm safe in my place. And we kind of get anxious before going out to a big city, big restaurant, what's going to happen, But then we have so much fun and we think we are so stupid because we, not that we didn't want to go, but maybe we were kind of doubting it or, oh my God, why did I agree to do this? But then I have the best time always. So for our own sake, you should tell us when you're here and we should meet and hang out and have some fun. Not that we don't have fun, but yeah, I am a little bit too much in my cocoon probably. So it will be like, oh no, going to Siena. I mean, I think the last time I went to Florence was 2020, beginning of 2020, just before the lockdown. And I probably, it's my fault if the whole world went into lockdown, because I said, oh my God, this is amazing. Florence in January, no tourists. I had the best coffee right in front of Palazzo Pitti, walked to the Duomo, and it was just the best. I had never seen Florence so gorgeous, you know? And I was like, oh, I'll come back next weekend. And then as soon as Luca is free, and then next month, so before Easter, basically, before all the tourists come. Yeah. 3 hours later, on the news, you cannot leave your homes. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not going to Florence again. No, sorry, just kidding. But yeah, I get a little bit too comfy in my cocoon, but it's so nice to explore. What I recommend to do, though, is every time you catch a train, just check the schedule. Because smaller train stations, but even bigger train stations, are closed at night. So the last train at 11, I mean, that's already pretty good because you're very close to Venice, and Venice is like Venice, okay? But from Milan to Lake Como, where I used to live, the last train was at 8 a.m. So I could not, you know, just stay in Milan for a dinner or something and then going back to Lake Como.
Do you mean p.m.?
P.m. Yes. The last train was at 8 p.m. And so always double check the schedule. And if you are like on a local train, the ones without reservation, you can buy as many tickets as you want and just stamp them, you know, right before getting on the train. If you don't take the train back home, you can use that ticket a different day, okay? So if you live here, like Nathan, or you are in the area, don't do what Nathan did. Because I was on the phone with him, and he was like, solo andata. And I'm like, why solo andata? Are you moving to Venice? Are you not going back to Conegliano tonight? Oh, no, I can buy my, you know, return ticket tonight at the train station in Venice. And I was like, why? Why wasting time twice? And then the machine didn't work, right? You only had cash. The machine was only card. It's all so complicated every time. So I said, buy a return ticket. They will give you 2 tickets for that leg. I mean, it's 40, 30 kilometers, I don't know. That's what you pay. And you can use those even the next week if for any reason you spend the night in Venice and don't use it the next day. So that is always a good idea. And if you do get on a train without a ticket like Nathan did because it was too late and you want to catch the last train, go and get the ticket. I mean, not office, but the man usually who's in charge of tickets. Just go and get someone from the staff and tell them, I'm sitting in, I don't know, seat 52. I was late, so I didn't buy a ticket. When you come, please, I need to buy a ticket. Maybe they won't come, okay? But if they do, you get a fine because you didn't say you didn't have a ticket. And you pay your ticket way more because you were caught without a ticket. If you tell them, I was late, the machine didn't work, I just jumped on the train, I need to buy a ticket, they could probably be like, where are you going? Conegliano. Oh, it's just 5 minutes. Don't worry about that because you've been honest.
Okay. So don't get so excited about a free train ride. Go find somebody. That's a good tip. So Vera, the last train from Venice Santa Lucia station was a train going to a city that you know very well. Can you guess what city the train was going to be terminating at? Going through my city, Conegliano?
I don't know.
Udine.
Was it? So from Venice to Conegliano and then all the way to Udine? Wow.
Yeah, so the last train to get to Udine left Venice at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Udine?
No, I haven't. I'm waiting to go with you and Luca.
Oh, sure. Okay. What about tomorrow?
Let's go.
No, you have to visit Udine. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. I really love it.
The reason that we're mentioning Udine, the reason I brought that up to Vera is because when Vera came to visit me here in Conegliano last year, last spring, it's been a year ago.
Yeah, it was
May.
May, yes.
Yeah. Vera and Luca were in Udine visiting Luca's family, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. His family is originally from Udine, from a little town on the mountains near Udine. But his grandparents moved to Milan when all the kids were still kids. They had 6 children, so that's a lot of children. And the youngest was probably not even born or sort of. And they moved to Milan and all the kids stayed there, you know, even when they grew up, they studied there, they worked there. Somebody moved around Italy, but they never went back to Udine. But we still have some cousins that Luca is very close to. And one of the siblings went back after he retired because Friuli is a beautiful region and it's less crowded than Milan. And it's perfect if you're retired, especially. And the food and the wine, and it's also good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to save Udine to visit with you guys because that's what I love to do. I love to see a city from someone who really knows that city. Oh, fantastic. Okay, Vera, we have a segment in season 7 that is a brand new segment, and it's your segment. And this is called Ask Vera. So I'm going to start the first Ask Vera segment with a question to Vera. Starting now through the rest of the season, if you would like to ask Vera a question, you can write to me, write an email to imovingtoitalypodcast@gmail.com and ask Vera a question. As many of you want can ask questions and we'll try to answer maybe at least one or two questions in every episode. So I'm going to start this first segment of Ask Vera with a question of my own for Vera that I would like explained because she's our local Italian who has all this knowledge that we do not have, and the things that Vera can teach us are super helpful. So I know Vera will have an answer for this question. Vera, recently I took the train down to Napoli to meet Alessandro, who was down there. And I had a connecting train to the Venice Mestra station, not the Venice Santa Lucia station, but the station right before you cross the lagoon into Venice. And that's a major hub where you sort of can go anywhere in Italy almost on the fast Italo trains. So to connect to that station, I had a local train, that same train that took me to Venice that we were just talking about from my station here in Conegliano. I had to get on that train, and I had pre-purchased a ticket, and I had stamped my ticket because the train was on its way, and I was standing there waiting to get on the train, and the train is delayed, and then the train is canceled, and then the next train is canceled. And I discovered that this happened because there was a strike in Italy. Now, it seems to me that strikes happen regularly here, and I'm used to, like, if there's a strike in the United States, I don't know, with bus drivers or teachers or nurses or whoever striking, they strike once every couple of years, and it's a major strike. They have this big disaster, and then it all gets resolved. Both sides come to an agreement, and it's solved. For some reason, that doesn't seem to be the case here in Italy, and I'd like to have you explain that to me and to us, because it seems like there's a strike all the time. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me that train and bus drivers are striking again? I thought they just were striking, like, recently. Like, and then before that, I thought they were striking again. So can you explain the concept of strikes in Italy for us?
Yes, I can. I mean, I can tell you what happens. I don't know why, okay? Because, yeah, I don't know. So basically, people go on a strike when they think they deserve something, a different contract, a better pay, I don't know, whatever, okay? And usually in most countries, what they do is they all stop working, okay? The whole country is like paralyzed because of this. It could be bus drivers or teachers or, I don't know, probably even most doctors, not all of them, but, you know, any category. And the whole country is paralyzed. So the government finds an agreement with them. And once the agreement is reached, the strike is over and we can all go back to our lives. Here in Italy, bus driver, all public transport, basically bus, underground, metro, whatever you want to call it, subway, trains, and even boats on Lake Como or in the lagoon in Venice, okay, all of them strike, go on a strike, I would say once every 6 weeks, and then it depends because we have regional transport or national transport, but they don't do all strike, they go on a strike on the same date, and it's always on a Friday. I know that. When I went to Milan for my father-in-law's birthday celebration, we drove on a Friday morning, and when we got to Milan, oh my God, the traffic was so bad, and of course, public transport was on strike. That's why everybody was driving their car, right? So yeah, it is a thing that happens often. So what happens? They don't find a real agreement. I don't know exactly what they're asking for, okay? They have a national contract and they want some changes. Maybe they're right, maybe they're not. I don't know, okay? I don't care. I'm not judging them because they go on a strike. But what happens is that the government, I don't know if it's a law or something, they say, okay, you can strike. You have the right to go on a strike, but you have to keep like basic services, okay? You cannot just paralyze the whole country. But that's the whole point of a strike, because if you don't have a real problem, then the government doesn't do anything to help, not anything to help. So basically, there are a few trains during rush hour for work. So let's say between 8 and 9 a.m. and then 5 and 7 p.m., something like that. Those trains are still going, or subways or whatever. And then you have one in the middle of the day. So it's not a total strike, but people like us going to work or going to Venice to have fun, you know, or Naples, well, they can't enjoy their day, or they're all pressed like sardines on that train because everybody's on the same train. And but so the service, these people can still get to work somehow. They find a taxi that they pay a lot of money, or they drive their cars to work. So we are not paralyzing the entire country, because we all still find a way to get to work. And the drivers go on a strike just one day. And the fact that it's always on a Friday, that, yeah, I think there's something suspicious there. So basically what I think is the government is never going to really change the contract the way they're asking for. I don't know, we don't have money for it. Maybe they're asking for too much, or I don't know. They just won't. And they found this under the table agreement. That's my thought, okay? It's not, I'm not saying that it's true. It's what I've always thought. That basically, okay, you get one or two more free day a month. You can go on a strike, okay? You get paid anyway, because it's always on a Friday. Always. So you have your weekend, okay? You can have a long weekend, because isn't it suspicious that it's always one day and it's always on a Friday and it's never more than one day? It's just crazy. And as for teachers, I'm sure they also deserve what they're asking for or whatever. But what happened was, even when I was in school, we got like an aviso, a warning, a few weeks before. Okay, Monday the 15th, teachers will be on strike. So kids can come to school, but we don't know if there's going to be class. Because especially for primary school, elementary school, you cannot just say, okay, take care of your kid, I don't care. Like, public school needs to take care of the children. So basically, we just went to school that day, and maybe the teacher was not there, so we just had a janitor having a look. And we were just playing in the garden. Or there was another teacher, maybe a substitute, that was not on strike. And she was like, okay, yeah, I'm here. And we just drew and had fun all day. But see how this makes no sense. We knew it already before. So many parents decided, okay, let's take the day off and go somewhere, because school is off anyway. So you're not, with your strike, you're not paralyzing the country. And if you don't do that, you'll never get what you want. Or find a compromise, okay? So this is what happens. I don't know why.
So it's a way to have basically an extra three-day weekend almost every month.
Yeah, that's what I think, exactly.
Okay, well, I guess what I'm asking, the reason I'm asking is because it had never affected me personally before, but when I missed that local train, I also then missed my other train, which was leaving, you know, an hour later. I thought I'd given myself more than enough time because, you know, that connection station was so close by. And anyway, so that's probably one of the reasons why I had not bought a return ticket, because I wasn't sure about return tickets. I had kind of gotten burned. And so I was like, oh, I can't buy a return ticket because, you know, what if I, but the secret is buy the return ticket, but don't activate it in those little machines until you can literally see the train pulling into the station, right?
Exactly. Perfect. Now you're a real Italian.
Well, Vera, thank you for answering that question. I knew you'd have an answer for us. Thanks for our very first segment of Ask Vera, and I know our listeners are going to come up with some great questions for you for our next episode in 2 weeks, because now we're on our every 2 week schedule, which is going to be an adjustment for all of us. Again, send your questions for Ask Vera to imovingtoitalypodcast@gmail.com, and I will put all of your questions together and Vera will answer them for you as we go through the season. Well, that brings us to our surrounding sounds. Before we get into our surrounding sounds, here's a quick word from our sponsors. For the past few years, I have shared with you my very favorite language program. Unlike Duolingo and Rosetta Stone, Babbel Language helps you learn on a completely different level. I started using Babbel Language about 3 years ago, and I can tell you that it is by far
superior to any other language program out there. I got their lifetime membership. I highly recommend you do the same. I'm so grateful that they are sponsoring our show today. And in thanks to our listeners for signing up with the links that we have on our website, you can get up to 50 and sometimes even 60% off of a lifetime membership, which is what I have. So check out the links on imovingtoitaly.com and you can sign up for the best language learning program available today. Also, if you are a traveler, if you are planning to move to Italy, if you are just simply concerned about keeping your data safe while you're at a local coffee shop or at an airport, you need ExpressVPN. It protects you while you're traveling. It protects you anywhere you are. These days, your data can be stolen so easily and so quickly. The worst nightmare in the world would be traveling and have someone steal your data and have all your credit cards shut off. We've all experienced it. It's a nightmare. It happens more and more regularly these days. So, one way to protect yourself, and I think the very best way to protect yourself, is through a VPN. And the very best VPN provider, bar none, highest rated that there is ExpressVPN. They are one of our sponsors, and I have been personally using their product for years, and I love it. It also allows me to use my streaming services and unlocks a whole world of things I can watch, whether it's switching to Italy when I'm in the United States to watch Italian programs, or switching to the United States while I'm in Italy or anywhere else in the world so I can watch my programs from the United States. It also helps with making phone calls and sending messages. It sort of tricks your phone into thinking that it's somewhere that it's not. And it sort of hides all of your data from big tech companies. So it's just a no-brainer. It's about $9 a month. When you sign up for a one-year program, you get 3 months free when you sign up with the links on our website, imovingtoitaly.com. You need the world's best Italian language coach, reach out to Vera at chicchelanguage.com. Vera, as you know, is our wonderful co-host, and she is my Italian language coach and the coach for many of our listeners. She has gotten very busy over the past several months, and she does have limited availability. Reach out to Vera at chicchelanguage.com. She has links on our website, and her website is chicche, C-H-I-C-C-H-E, language.com. If you need help moving to Italy, if you need someone to coach you, if you need someone to help you find a piece of property here, if you need someone to help you get a visa, if you need someone to help you get health insurance, you just need help figuring out where to start. We have some really, really great success stories. Every single one of our clients, no matter what the time of day is, they can reach out, send me an email, you get my private email address, and you have a 70-minute session to begin with. Reach out to me at imovingtoitaly.com. I've got links there, whole questionnaire, so that when I start with our coaching sessions, I know exactly where you are, and it will be my pleasure to work with you and help you move to this beautiful country that I call home, that I know you're dreaming of calling home as well. Again, thank you so much for all of our sponsors, and let's get back to our episode and our surrounding sounds. This season, we're going to do something a little bit different for our surrounding sounds. Sometimes I will be sharing a sound from something that I've experienced or something that I talked about on the podcast. So the other surrounding sound that we're going to do every single episode is we're going to do a sound of something that you should know from English, but we're going to listen to it in Italian. So in other words, maybe a song that you know in English, but I'm going to share the Italian version with you, and you have to guess what the song is if you can figure it out. So enjoy, and Vera and I will be back afterwards to say goodbye.
Beh, dipende dal punto di vista. Vedi, in tutto ciò che devi fare, il lato bello puoi trovare. Lo troverai e hop, il gioco viene. Ed ogni compito di te più semplice sarai, dovrai capire che il trucco è tutto qui. Con un poco di zucchero, la pillola va giù, la pillola va giù, pillola va giù. Basta un poco di zucchero, la pillola va giù, tutto bene. brillerà di più. Il pettino sonnido fa un po' di soft, ma non ha che compito scappar di qua e di là. Ma nonostante il suo da far non cessa mai di cinguettare, lui sa che allora più lieve il suo
state come vorrei. Comunque, c'è tempo, c'è tempo. Hopla! A passeggia!
Con un poco di zucchero, la pillola va giù, la pillola va giù, pillola va giù. Con un poco di zucchero, la pillola va giù, tu brillerà di più.
Okay, Vera, now I know that you recognize that song. You grew up with it just the same way most of us grew up with it. So can you tell us what the words were from that song?
That was Mary Poppins, la tata più amata dai bambini di tutto il mondo, where tata is our word for nanny, la tata. And the words are, well, the title is Basta un poco di zucchero. So a little bit of sugar is enough. Basta un poco di zucchero. And the song says, con un poco di zucchero, la pillola va giù. With a little bit of sugar, the pill goes down. Con un poco di zucchero la pillola va giù.
It's so funny that you translated it, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, into a spoonful of sugar helps the pill go down.
Yeah, because medicine is general. A medicine could be a syrup, could be liquid, could be, so pillola is the tablet. It's like something you need to, you know, I don't know. But I can say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Espialidoso.
That's how we say it. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, I love it. That's, so even supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is still done in an Italian way. I love it. Anyway, well, hopefully you enjoyed guessing what that song was. I'm sure most of you figured it out. Maybe we'll make the next one a little bit harder. Vera, it was lovely being back here with you for season 7, our first episode together. I'm looking forward to this sort of free-form, meandering season with you. It's going to be a wonderful adventure, as always. And I'm looking forward to hearing about your personal stories and sharing stories that we have together, and also giving you updates about my life and letting you know how things are progressing about the farm and all the other things that are happening here in Italy. So Vera, I will look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.
I can't wait to be back and talk to you soon. Ciao, ciao.
Wherever you are listening to the sound of our voices today, we hope you are healthy and well, and we look forward to being back here with you for another episode next time. Until then, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.